Well, it's good to be back in the Lord's house. Take your Bibles and turn to John, St. John, chapter 1 today. Someone tell me what our theme is this month. Now, it's church day month, but what's our theme? Building our faith. Building our faith is our theme for this month. And we trust as we go through these lessons that our faith will certainly be strengthened by it. I tell you, we live in a time we need more faith than we ever have. And dependence upon God, and we need to trust Him for all things that we have dear to us today. So, again, our theme is building our faith. Last week, we talked about the doctrine of God. We talked about a little bit what the Bible teaches us about God. And today, we're going to talk about the doctrine of Jesus Christ, Christology, a little bit about Jesus Christ today. Last week we spelled faith, F-A-I-T-H. How do we spell it? Forsaking all, I trust Him. Say it with me. Forsaking all, I trust Him. That's faith, okay? That's what we talked about last week. We talked about faith being trust, being believing, being also having confidence, having commitment. Faith is what faith is. We looked in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8 and 9 and 10, we talked about faith there. As far as faith is the condition of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. And we also talked about verse number 10, how we see here that faith is the measure of the results of salvation. Once I am saved, what am I to do? The Bible says we're created to God for good works, that we might bring honor and glory to Him. So we talked about faith last week and how important it is. Therefore, if our faith needs to grow, we need to build our faith. And the only way we can build our faith, as we saw last week, is through the Word of God. Paul says in Romans 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh. Faith does come, but it comes by someone with a listening ear and a heart that wants to hear from God. And God will give faith to those that will come and will listen to the Word of God. I'm amazed at this book, how the book Word of God opens our understanding. Even though before we were lost, God enabled us to understand that we were lost through the preaching of the Word that we heard. God's Word is powerful, folks. If God's Word can prick our hearts and get in our minds and prick into our hearts and help us to see that we're lost and need a Savior, is powerful. It's powerful. And I'm grateful. You know, the greatest miracle in the world today, I really believe, is it's when a lost sinner can be converted and become a Christian. That's a miracle. That's a miracle that only God can do. And I'm grateful to know today that God has done that for you and He's done that for me. So today we're talking about the doctrine of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at Him and His working towards our faith and hoping to build our faith also. Every one of us, every individual in this world, every human being shares one very important thing. One very important thing. Doesn't matter where they're born, where they're living, or where they're dead, how they have lived. Every individual, every human being that's been created by God today shares one very important thing in their life. This is our purpose of life on this earth, and our destiny, our eternal destiny, depends completely upon what we do with Jesus Christ. What we do with Jesus Christ. Our purpose on this earth as we live, and also our eternal destiny, is based upon what we do with Jesus Christ. He is the one that makes the difference, folks, and only Him. I'm glad today that I know Him. Won't you? I'm glad to know I know Him as my personal Savior. And I know that you are if you're saved too. Let's pray. We're going to trust God for a good service today. And thank you for being here. And we do want to pray for those that are out. Have a number that are sick. And again, the Carroll family and others that are hurting today. Brother Steele and his knees there. And we have a lot of sick folks. But you know, one day sickness is going to be all over with, folks. We'll hear no tell of no more sickness, and I'm longing for that day. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You for life. We thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house again. Lord, as we open Your Word today, I pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, somehow, Lord, be able to get the message across today that you've laid on our hearts. And God, as we go through this stewardship month, that we might think about building our faith. And God, how we need to grow, how we need to be strengthened, how we need to be encouraged. And God, we are so grateful that the Word of God is the source, Lord, to help us to grow thereby. And God, help us to be faithful with that, reading it, praying and studying about it. And God, that we might grow and, Lord, be what you want us to be. And again, Lord, we lift up those that are hurting, those that are sick. Lord, I pray you will bless them. I pray you strengthen them. I pray you meet with them today. And Lord, we commit this service to you and ask your God for your will to be done. Lord, may somehow you be honored. May you be glorified. In all that we say and do, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In John chapter 1, I want to begin reading with verse number 1. As we're again talking about the doctrine of Jesus Christ, we know that Jesus Christ, he left paradise. He left heaven, literally, for you and for me. He came into this hostile world knowing that the world was going to, knowing that the people in the world would eventually take his life, and this would be his Father's will. He knew that when he came. But yet he was willing to come. And folks, I want you to remember this. He came for you. He came for you. He came for us individually. Every one of us, he came and gave his life for us. We have a wonderful Savior, folks. We really do. And we find the Bible declares that Christ is God manifested in the flesh. He was the God-man. He was the God-man. Now, this is a love that you and I cannot measure. There's no way we can measure the love of Jesus to you and to me. We just know he so loved us. And I'm glad he did. Now, in John chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1, this is St. John now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Notice, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now look down at verse number 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, I like that but there, don't you? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm glad that it wasn't anything in me that enabled me to become a son of God. But God gave me the power through faith in him to become a child of God. I'm grateful for that today. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In verse 14, and the Word was made what? Flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We find here the incarnation of Christ. We see in the Old Testament, man was made in the image of God. In the New Testament here, we see that God was made in the image of man. The incarnation of Christ, how he became a man. Now, he wasn't just partly man and partly God. He was completely man and completely God. Can you explain that? No, I can't, but I believe it. I believe that he was that. Now, why did he have to become man? Why did he have to become flesh? Well, we know what happened in the Garden of Eden. Man sinned. Man disobeyed God. Therefore, man was separated from God. And because man was separated from God, it brought death. It brought death to mankind. Now, there had to be a way. There had to be a way somehow to redeem man. To redeem man. And man could not redeem himself. So God had to give his Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for us, that you and I could be saved. He came and here and died for our sins and death, and then to restore us to a relationship with God. Jesus Christ did that for you and for me. So we find this is why the incarnation, there's no other way except the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the perfect Son of God. the sinless Son of God, and He came and died for us. Now, the man was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Let's notice some things about Him. As we're looking at the incarnation of Christ, we're talking about building our faith. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's who we're looking to today. If I'm gonna have a strong faith, I've got to look to Jesus. I've got to learn all I can about Him, because He is the one who died for me. He's the one that gives me faith. I have to look to Him. I can't look upon the world, things upon the world, and people upon the world. I've got to focus on Him. And that's what we want to do today here when we see this. Now look at Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. But God commended His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I like that. You notice those words in that verse? While we were yet sinners? While we were yet sinners. God communicated His love, His mercy, and His justice to us while we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners. I'm so glad today to know that He did that. I'm glad today to know that He did that for you and I. While we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Now let's notice something else here. Look at verse number 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam, Adam's transgression, who is the figure of Him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of, I want you to notice the word one, how many times it's used in the next few verses, the word one, O-N-E. Notice, it says, for if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of by grace, which is by what? One man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of the righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we see here in this passage of Scripture, we see Adam's children, and we see God's children. We see the difference here between Adam's children and God's children. We see here, first of all, Adam's children is ruined in verse number 9. They're ruined. In verse number 8, we see God's children have been rescued. They have been rescued, according to verse number 8. We also see, in verse number 12, we see Adam's children are under sin, are in sin. We also see that verse 18, that God's children have received the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's not our righteousness, it's His righteousness. So we're contrasting here Adam's children and God's children, and what Jesus Christ has done for us. We also see in verse 12 that Adam's children are dead in sin. Are dead in sin. We find that in verse 17 and 21 that God's children have eternal life. They have eternal life. That is, we're going to live forever. We'll live forever. We also see, not only that, but verse 18, we see that Adam's children are separated from God. They're separated from God. And we find in verse 16 and verse 19, God's children, Christ's children, have a relationship with God. We have a relationship with God. Also, we see verse 19, that Adam's children are disobedient. They disobey God. We find in verse 19 that God's children obey Him. They obey Him. Also, we find in verse 18, there's judgment upon Adam's children. They're being judged because of their sin. In verse 10 and 11, we find that God's children are delivered. We find deliverance for us as God's children. And last, we see that Adam's children are under the law, verse 20, and God's children, in verse number 20 also, are under grace. Thank God for Jesus Christ that made the difference. I'm no longer Adam's child. I'm God's child now because of Jesus Christ and what He did for me. See, He gave me the opportunity. Someone said that the Son of Man became the Son of Men. That the sons of... Wait a minute, how did we get that? Anybody got that in mind? The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the children of God may become the children of God. Children of men may become the children of God. You get it right in a minute. Anyway, Jesus made it possible for you and I to become a son of God.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to say. And that's so true. And we see this here revealed in this passage when we compare Adam's children with God's children. I'm glad I'm God's child. I'm glad I'm God's child today. Yes, Jesus Christ is manifested in God in the flesh. He makes God known. He is, He was, and He always will be God. He changes not, the Bible tells us, Jesus Christ. He has all the attributes of God. He's holy. He's self-existent. All these things. He's faithful. He's infallible, holy, righteous, faithful. He has perfect love. All the characteristics of God are in Jesus Christ. Even in His life that He lived here on this earth. Jesus was the example of what God intended mankind to be like. He wants all of us to be like Him. All of us to be like Jesus Christ. We find that Jesus was fully human, yet He was at once both God and man. He was God and man in the flesh. We find that He took upon Himself the demands, also the necessities of human nature, identifying Himself with mankind. You know, that's got to be a big step for God to leave heaven and come down here in this world and take upon Himself the necessities of our nature. In other words, He never hungered, but when He came to earth, He hungered. He changed. He never thirsted, but when He became a man, He thirsted. He never grew weary until He became a man. See, he had to become that for us, that He might die. The life die for us, that you and I could be saved. He slept. He suffered. He did all these things for you and I. Therefore, that's why He became a man. So He could identify with us. We could identify with Him, knowing that He did that for us. Yes, Jesus differs in many ways from all people. First of all, we see His birth was different. He was born through a virgin. He had no earthly father. He differs from mankind. He had no human father. Yet he was conceived by the Holy Ghost in Mary's womb that he might be born. His birth was different from all births that we've ever heard about. Not only his birth, but his life. His life was different from any man when he lived here on this earth. We see that his life, he was without sin. He was without sin. We find that he claimed also to be sinless. He claimed to be sinless while he was here on this earth. We also see that there is no record in the Word of God's Word where he confessed his sins. He didn't have any to confess, did he? He had no sins to confess. We also see that he told us to confess our sins, though. He told us to confess our sins. Now, when we look at Jesus and his birth and his life, we notice some things very special about him. First of all, we find he was the perfect teacher. The perfect teacher as an example for you and I. He taught us how to think. How to think. Turn to Philippians. Over to Philippians and chapter number 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, chapter number 2. Jesus taught us how to think from the Scriptures. How to think. He was the perfect teacher while he was here in the flesh. In Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 5. The Scripture says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," what's the next word? Thought. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But notice, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The perfect example of a teacher was Jesus Christ. He taught us how to think. How to think. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. So I'm glad today to know that we have the perfect teacher recorded in God's Word that we can look at. Know what a wonderful teacher he was. Not only was he the perfect teacher, but he also was the perfect example. He taught us how to live. He taught us how to live. Over in 1 Peter, over a few pages in 1 Peter, look with me, please. Look in chapter number 2. He taught us how to live. I talk about building our faith. Look at Jesus, folks. Look at Jesus, and God, he will help you to build your faith. He'll help you to encourage your faith. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us," and what? "Example, that you should follow his steps." Notice verse 22. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Jesus Christ, the perfect example of how to live. Also, the perfect example of how we see here to think. How to think and how to live. He shows us in the Word of God. That's what we ought to be doing in our life. I'm glad for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but we also see the perfect sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice. Turn back to Colossians. I should say over to Colossians. We'll go over Colossians chapter number 1. We see here the perfect sacrifice, how to give. Colossians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 15. Colossians 1, verse 15 today. Who is the image of the invisible God, speaking about the Lord Jesus, how God's exalted him. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Notice it, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, you now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. We see the perfect sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, for you and I. We will look at the Lord Jesus Christ and all he's done for you and I. He became a man. Yes, he did. He was a perfect, in becoming a man, he was a perfect teacher. He was a perfect example. And he was a perfect sacrifice for you and I that know him. I'm glad today to know that. We have other biblical Bible writers that also identify and state the fact that Jesus was sinless. He was sinless. We know Paul said that Jesus became sin for us. Jesus became sin for us personally, but he knew no sin. He knew no sin. Paul tells us that. We see that the writer of Hebrews and also Peter states that Jesus the righteous died for the unrighteous. He died for the unrighteous. Jesus the righteous died for the unrighteous. We see his nature sets him apart from all other people while he was here on this earth. His nature, who he was. You know, I often wonder and think what it would have been like to be alive when Jesus was here on earth, just to be able to see him. And to just be around him. You know, of course, we didn't have that opportunity to live when he lived. But I'm thankful we still have the living word of him, the Bible, that we can understand a little bit about him as we read the word of God and try to ask God to give us understanding of it. But the New Testament states also that Christ is God. Throughout the whole New Testament, we see that Jesus Christ was God. He was God. We find that he claims he will be judge of the world. He will be the judge of the world, Jesus Christ. He is God. He claims he could forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins, and Jesus Christ was God. He was God. We also see that he created. And also, not only did he create, but he sustains all things that are here today. He does that by his power. He's God, folks. Jesus Christ is God. He was God in the flesh. He's God today. He has power to raise the dead, we find in the Scriptures. He's called God in Hebrews 1:8. The Scriptures itself call him God. He's from the beginning. He always has been. He always will be. There's none like him. He's God. He's God. He's the image of the invisible God, we just read in Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15 through 23, we find that he volunteered himself to become a man to redeem you and to redeem me. He gave himself for you and I. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have, folks, to know of what he's done for us. We find in the words, the actions, God the Father made available the revelation in Christ. In other words, we understand the Word of God because of Jesus Christ. He makes it understandable for you and I. We again look in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, as we already read, we find the death and the resurrection of the Son, where the Father communicated his love, his justice, and his mercy to you and I. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. Folks, he knew me before I was born. He knew you before you were born. He knew our nature. He knew what we were going to do. We were going to sin. We were going to sin. I said last week that faith is a divine gift from God. He gives us that gift when we trust him, when we accept him as our personal Savior. I'm grateful today for that. God sometimes allows testing in our life, test our faith, that he might set apart us as believers. Set apart us as believers. Listen, folks, we're different from the world. You know that? We're different from the world. And the world recognizes that if you're around the world, in the world much, and we see that. God uses trials to test and to grow and to help our faith increase. He gives us tests. He allows tests to come into our lives. May God help us to do that. What happens when faith occurs, when saving faith occurs in the life of an individual? What happens? We see that God himself has enabled somebody, someone, through his word of himself, the words and actions of Christ, they have by faith received. It's all about Jesus. He makes it possible for us to be saved. He saves us. He saves us. Now, in closing, I want to state this. God the Father has acknowledged Jesus Christ in his humiliation and also his humanity. He did both. He's acknowledged him. God the Father acknowledged his Son in his humiliation and also his humanity while he was here on this earth. We see, first of all, Jesus Christ emptied himself, the scriptures tell us, didn't he? He emptied himself. He gave himself. But we see also that God the Father highly exalted him. Highly exalted him. We also see that Jesus Christ took upon himself the form of a servant. He took upon himself the form of a servant. But we see that God has gave him a name that is above every name. A name that is above every name, the name Jesus. We also see that Jesus was made in the likeness of men. He was made in the very likeness of us. But we see God the Father has caused every knee to bow to him. Every knee will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father has exalted him, even though Jesus Christ humbled himself. He was found in the fashion of a man. He became a man. But God leads all heaven to acknowledge this man. All of heaven will acknowledge this man, Christ Jesus. Every man will acknowledge him. He humbled himself. Jesus did. But God caused all the earth to own him as the exalted one. As the exalted one. All the earth will exalt him, even though he humbled himself. He was obedient. Jesus was obedient to the Father. But we see that God makes all the disobedient in the world to submit to him. All the disobedient in the world will submit to Jesus Christ, even though Jesus himself was obedient. He died the death of the cross, Jesus did. We find that every tongue will confess one day his lordship. Every tongue. Nobody will be exempt. Everybody one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. The Bible says that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Everyone will do that. May the Lord help us as we ask God to increase our faith. Look at our Savior. Look at our Savior and what he's done for us. What he became for you. What he became for me. Folks, he went through things that you and I can't even imagine as a man. He went through it for you. He went through it for me. I'm so glad today to know that He loves us. And I'm so glad today to know that looking at Him and looking toward Him, looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we can increase our faith. We can increase our faith. Now, the gift of God to the world is who? Christ. The gift of God to the world is Christ. Now, the gift of the Father to Christ is the church. The gift of God. The gift of God, the Father, to Christ is the church. And then we find the gift of Christ to the believer is who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives within you and within me. And the Holy Spirit that lives in you and lives within me will teach us all things, folks, of this word. If we will apply ourselves and we'll pray and read and study, He is our teacher. He's our teacher. May the Lord help us. May the Lord strengthen our faith today. I need more faith, do you? I need more faith. You know, you go about in the world and you do this and do that, and if you're not careful, we'll find ourselves focused on things in this world, and we'll be unfocused from God and His Word. May the Word of God become so real to you and so real to me that it'll be more important to us than the food that we eat. Folks, I'm going to tell you, this is the only thing. This is the only thing that's going to enable us to stand in these last days and be what God wants us to be. Be a student of this book. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. The Word of God. I want my faith to grow, and I know you want your faith to grow. May we be students of this book, that God can and God will enable us to grow by faith. Grow by faith. Now, what is faith? Forsaking all, I trust Him. Say it. Forsaking all, I trust Him. That's faith. May God help us to do that today. Father, thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, the example He was, He is, even today. We ask You now, Lord, to help us that our faith may grow. Lord, help us to look to You always. God, that somehow You might enable us to be stronger every day in our life. Lord, that somehow we might be able to help somebody along the way. Lord, and lead them, Lord, in the way of Christ. Oh, we can't do it alone. We sure need Your help in these last days. And God, I pray You give us the strength, give us the wisdom, the power we need. Lord, that our faith, Lord, may our lights may shine in this dark world. Lord, that others may see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Father, we commit now this next hour unto You, to You and in Your hands. God bless the singing, the choir, the special. God bless our pastor. God, anoint him afresh, anew today. Give him power to speak what You laid upon his heart to share with us today. Again, Lord, that we might grow in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.